Welcome to yet another episode of the Football Road podcast. We're here to discuss Arsenal today. It's been the club that has really contested the season. It's been incredible, their journey in terms of what they've achieved. An 84-point season, a fantastic turnaround. The fans are back, the culture's back. Arteta's really turned it around. Unfortunately, they did fall short. We want to discuss the highs and the lows. We also want to discuss the next season, the transfer window, and what lies ahead for this club that is clearly the most promising project in the Premier League era right now. So let's dive right into it. We're going to try to cover a lot of things today, you know, including Declan Rice, including Kai Havertz, including what went wrong, including what went right. So let's dive right into it today. We're going to start with the most basic question of them all, which is what happened this season at the Emirates? What is the narrative behind this Football Cup? So we're going to start with Arnav over here. Arnav, you've been a long-time Arsenal fan. And for all those who haven't heard, Arnav on the pod before, he's joining us for the first time. So welcome, Arnav, to the Football Road family. It's, you know, you've followed Arsenal, you know, through thick and thin this season. You've really lived the beats of this season. Tell us what your thoughts are. What have you felt, you know, from a fan point of view, in terms of what your club has gone through this season?
Oh, thanks, Nime, for having me on the pod. I definitely feel there are a lot of things that have changed this season. There is a lot of conversation on Saliba's influence on the defense. But for me personally, the big change was the offense that was there this season. In the past four to five seasons, we've seen the over-dependence on a number nine striker scoring around 20 to 25 goals a season. And that's where we have banked on most of our offensive skills. But I feel this season, Arsenal has around like 15 to 16 different goal scorers in the Prem. And that's like the record for this season. So I feel that was a big change, because scoring 88 goals with City, just like right behind City, who are a juggernaut at this point. So I feel that's a huge change from last season. So that was the biggest shift from the last 5 to 6 seasons. That's what I believe. I feel another big change was the influence of Saliba, as I mentioned before. That was one centre-back that we have been missing for a long, long time. And the injury in the end, that was so unfortunate, because we definitely feel our season was going very well. We wanted an athletic centre-back. But that was one big change. His injury was definitely one big shift. And one last thing that I would want to mention for the big change was the fans' influence. If you I don't know if you remember, in the first few games when Saliba conceded that own goal, the fans instead were like supporting Saliba. So we haven't seen that for the past, I think, 6 to 7 years, where people are actually cheering for an own goal and actually supporting their own team after that. So I feel that is a huge shift, the fans' influence and Arteta's influence with the fans. So I feel there has been a connection with that change. And yeah, feel free to jump in if you have any other thoughts after that.
So I just had one thought when I actually thought about what went right and what went wrong broadly with the Arsenal season. It kind of felt like the first half of the season, everything sort of went right. You know, young attacking players, like you said, across the front line, clicking. The new signings settled really well, which I think you cannot underestimate how important that is to the functioning of a team. You know, when the new important players in a squad come in and they do the job that you need well, it makes a really, really big difference to everyone there. And it kind of helps everyone believe that, you know, things are going in the right direction. And on the other side, I think, in the second half of the season, the pressure that was applied by City, it really, really messed up the rhythm that Arsenal had built before the World Cup. So the World Cup break, and then just the way that City stepped it up, kind of, I think that it caused Arsenal to just buckle a little bit in the run-in. And I think that's also a mental thing that they have to learn. You know, the same way that Liverpool had to learn how to win and how to compete with City.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a good point you brought up, because towards the end of the season, it did kind of feel like everything was falling away. But just to put this season into review, now, I had the privilege this year of going for two Arsenal games, one at the Emirates and one at Stamford Bridge. And I can tell you firsthand, the atmosphere was unbelievable. So the Stamford Bridge game was obviously Chelsea, the 1-0 win away. And honestly, the fans did not stop singing right after the game. The players came all the way up to us. They stood in front of us. They cheered with us for about 15 or 20 minutes after the game, and nobody left. So I feel like that was the main thing in this season. I feel like the fans and the team reconnected after so long. I haven't seen this like with an Arsenal team for ages. And when we played Brighton and lost 3-1 in the Carabao Cup at the Emirates, the entire stadium, I think it was in the 89th minute, everyone just went like, "We're top of the league. We're top of the league." And it was just goosebumps at that point. Like, you know, I know it still ended in disappointment, but honestly, I've loved this season. The way we reconnected with the team, reconnected with us, and the way we took City all the way till the end. I mean, not technically not all the way, but at least till the 33rd or 34th game week. And I feel like that's a huge achievement considering we finished fifth and outside the Champions League places last season. And I feel like there's only big things to come from here.
No, for sure. I agree with that as well. I feel like the atmosphere, even like if you've gone for games in person, I feel even on the television sets, I feel the atmosphere was amazing. And I think I just want to mention one more thing, which is recruiting. I feel like Arsenal's recruitment has definitely improved in the last two seasons, I would say. Initially, I feel that season when Arteta started with those signings like Willian, I feel like there was some sort of like, they were not clear with what they want. They were just going in with like people that they wanted to sign who have won something in the past. But I feel they completely pivoted from that aspect to having young players. And I feel like one of the major shifts this season was the maturity of those young players that they've signed in the past. I feel like one person that was really, really surprising for me was Nketiah. I feel not that surprising because we saw some of it lost at the end of the last season. I honestly thought it was almost over after Jesus got injured. But I feel the way Nketiah also pushed through that those points in the end from Jan to Feb, I feel that was also a huge change. And I feel like that's what like these young players are stepping up. We have like around 4 to 5 players with like 10 goals, 10 assists. I feel like that is something that has been speaking volumes in the midfield. Xhaka's influence has also been amazing. So I feel we've seen a lot of leadership in the past. I feel like that has just been coming up with maturity of these young players. And that's what we are seeing this season. And hopefully we would see more of that in the coming seasons.
No, I think that's a good point. You know, just to, you know, understand this from last season to this season, I think it's a good segue into, you know, what we want to address next, which is, you know, last season, you know, the season before this, Arsenal were, you know, romping home to the fourth spot and, you know, really crumbled towards the end with, you know, with a few results not going their way. We saw all or nothing. And, you know, it's important to address this, you know, from my eyes. You know, the insight that we got into the Arsenal boardroom, there was structure, there was Edu, there was Arteta. There was a sense of cohesion. And I could really see, you know, how Arteta has been so influential in bringing this group together along with Edu. The recruitment process definitely changed. But, you know, from a neutral point of view, I find it hard to point out what really changed in the summer. Because Arsenal really came out all guns blazing. They were, you know, top of the league for 93% of the season, which, you know, a lot of the fans out there will call it choking, they'll call it bottling, etc. But from the way I look at it, I think it's a phenomenal achievement, an achievement that cannot go unnoticed. So Rohin, if you were to sort of understand Arsenal from last season to this season, nobody gave them a chance to compete for the title. Nobody even gave them a chance to finish fourth in a comfortable position. So what was that change? If you can point out one or two factors.
Yeah, of course. So the main thing is there was this quote at the beginning of the season from Arteta where he went like, they know how to make the decisions. And this is a stark contrast to him in the previous season where you could see him on the sideline directing every single move. Like he would stand there and he would be like, play this pass. Now, whether they would do it or not is a different issue. But he was there, he was hounding them. compared to this season, right at the beginning, before it even started, he's like, they know what to do. They know how to make the decisions and they'll do it. And I feel like that translated directly onto the pitch. So this season, we saw Arsenal's passing increase 7,000 yards from the previous seasons, which, I mean, shows exactly how we were moving the ball. We were trying to progress up the field. And, you know, with Xhaka, like, playing into Arnav's point, with everyone up above being involved in every play moving forward, that translated into goals and assists for everyone playing up top. And with Xhaka, I mean, considering if we compare his last Premier League season to this one, he had about 3 or 4 goal contributions last season, and he had 14 this season. I mean, it just shows you what exactly Arteta had in mind coming into the season, the way he tweaked the formation to make it work for us. Another interesting point was Saka. So Saka would always come inside, would always have his body facing inside to receive the ball, basically, not facing the touchline. He would not be facing inside. So when Ben White would play a ball into him, it was easy to turn, basically. But if his body's facing the touchline, there's only a limited amount of distance you can work with. And that's why you saw him complete so many successful dribbles against so many left backs across the Premier League. And yeah, so it was just overall, the gameplay was just outstanding. It absolutely elevated from last season beyond anything that I had expected. And I feel like with the right signings, this coming transfer window, we can take it to an absolutely, a completely different level.
So just to add on to what Rohan just said, on a more broad level, not just about what's happening on the pitch, but it also has to do with what Arnav mentioned earlier about Arsenal no longer having players like Willian, you know, no longer having players like Aubameyang or Ozil in the squad, where they were not necessarily bad players, but they didn't fit with the collective vision that the manager had. And I think that's something that's really important, that from the beginning in this season, everything was harmonious. There was no disruptive character. And I think when you want to challenge a team like City that are so dominant and they set the bar so high, you really can't have anyone, you know, distracting from the purpose of the team. And that's every single day, every training session, every meeting, you know, everything has to be on point. And I think Arteta managed to get that culture right. And I think that's something that's a big, big, you know, hats off to him for doing that, because it's a huge challenge.
No, I think that's a good point, Kobe. You know, just talking about culture, you know, we can't not mention, you know, the big dog in the room, who's Arteta. I think it's really important to mention him. He's really set the tone, you know, in terms of how the team plays. He's clearly a modern manager who has his own ideas about, you know, how the team should be playing. You know, case in point was Aaron Ramsdale, right? You know, Bern Leno has, you know, was not a bad keeper by any means. He was quite fantastic when, you know, he's probably one of the best keepers in the league even today at Fulham. But Arteta didn't have, you know, an iota of doubt in him to let him go to bring Ramsdale on. A case in point was also what he did with Aubameyang. Of course, you know, he's let go of some of these big personalities. He's taken some bold calls. But, you know, I want to talk about the football that he plays on the pitch. I don't know what has he really done from a footballing point of view. What is the philosophy of Arsenal? What kind of a club does it want to be? Does it want to be another Manchester City, or does Arteta have his own identity? What are your thoughts on that?
I have mixed feelings about that right now, because definitely as a manager this season, it's very clear how Arsenal want to play. As Rohan mentioned as well, the progressive passes have definitely increased. We can see Arsenal attacking a lot more. But I feel just completely shifting to that style of play, we have conceded a lot of goals on counter-attacks after losing the ball in midfield. We've looked amazing in games, even like aesthetically, always just like passing the ball, dominating the game. And then out of the blue, we lose the ball in midfield and then we concede, the momentum shifts, and that's how we are losing games in the end. I feel even in the first half of the season, This was definitely super strong in terms of like the first 19 games building after each and every game. But I feel that's when team management and I feel the man management comes into play. If you compare Arsenal to City, you can see the number of minutes each player is playing. I feel like even I was reading the other day, there was some source that from ESPN that was saying that Saka was managing an Achilles problem for the longest time, but he ended up playing the most number of minutes. He played, I think, 3,100 minutes. Odegaard played also 3,100 minutes. Ben White played 3,000 minutes. Xhaka was playing 3,000 minutes. And if you see on the other hand, the most number of minutes for City, only Rodri has played, and that was 2,800 minutes. And all the other attackers have just played 2,100 to 2,200 minutes. Haaland has played 2,600 minutes. So even with that output, I feel that is where man management comes into play. We've seen a lot of injuries because of that. So I feel that is one place where Arteta could definitely improve. And the other thing is, like, as I mentioned before, Zinchenko. So one thing about that philosophy is when Zinchenko is coming in into midfield, he's been very average when it comes to being defending the ball when he comes back. If you look at the Liverpool game, the goal that we conceded for the equalizer, that was Zinchenko's defensive effort that went into a win. And I feel that is where Arteta also saw. I feel even on television, a lot of commentators were saying that Zinchenko is looking knackered, and they wanted that was like the obvious shift. And I feel after that goal, Arteta did substitute him. So I feel that man management can definitely improve. But I feel progressive football is definitely what Arsenal wants to play. That's the philosophy. I feel some parts that you cannot completely replicate a Manchester City. We don't have the depth for Manchester City. But I feel definitely next season, if we can add that depth, we can replicate something similar. And I feel progressive football, when it comes to offensive play, is the word go for Arsenal. But I feel definitely there are a lot of defensive things that need to be shifted and improved for that philosophy to also be successful.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with most of what you said, to be honest. With Zinchenko, I love the way he moves into midfield, and I love the way he slides back into defense when he has to. Now, in the Liverpool game, as with a couple of other games, he did have a couple of issues, but I feel like he was solid enough defensively overall. He was a very, very good signing, he and Jesus, of course. And I feel like that's Arteta's motto. Like you said earlier, like, you know, Edu and Arteta together are making the right signings. He's now signing people to fit his system. He signed a complete forward and a technical left back, basically. He signed two people who will fit his system perfectly. And you saw the way they just slotted in the season. Nobody could believe the way Arsenal was playing those first three or four games, right? And it's just like, it's just great to watch, honestly. You know, like, you have Zinchenko sliding in, you have Jesus coming back, linking up the play. You see Martinelli and Saka getting most of the goals compared to Gabriel Jesus, which is, again, brilliant to watch. And I think our entire philosophy this season, and hopefully carrying forward into the next season, is progressive football with a young, exciting team who can take it to the opposition. And whenever change is made, they're open to that change. Because sometimes people who've played in a certain system for a long time, I feel like they don't necessarily want to shift away or don't find it as easy to shift away. But with young players, especially with Martinelli, Saka, Odegaard, and these guys up front, they're like butter. It's so smooth. And I feel like with the right signings again, we can take this much, much further next season.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely do agree with that as well, because I feel like by the end of the season as well, one experiment that Arteta also played with was Ben White at right back, which was not talked a lot about, but I feel that was a super solid move. But in that move as well, that was some sort of like athleticism that was missing in terms of the offensive aspect of Ben White's output. I feel at times when we were looking at Arsenal playing, we were looking at a lot of over-dependence from attacking from the left. If you look at Martinelli, Trossard at the end of the season, a lot was being dependent on the left when Saka was just shut down or like double played by like two players from the other team. That side was shut down because there was not a lot of output in terms of the offensive play on the right. So I feel that is one thing as well that Arteta would want to like look at, because Ben White has been solid defensively, but at the end of the day, he was a center back, And that is one place that I personally could be a hot take as well. I would want someone that could do both, someone like a Kyle Walker, someone like a Cancelo who's good both ways. I feel like that is somewhere that I feel like Arsenal could definitely strengthen, because we do not have a solid backup for the right back right now. We have amazing backups for the left back, but for right back, I feel like that is where we could also like improve.
Just to add to exactly what you were saying, actually, I think Tomiyasu was one of the more disappointing players for Arsenal in a very successful season, just because he didn't seem to be able to break into the team and contribute meaningfully to the season in any way. And I think you're absolutely right that the right side of Arsenal struggles a little bit when you compare to the left, because the left has Zinchenko contributing to the attack, creating those overloads, creating those triangles. And Ben White is a more limited player going forward compared to him. So I think definitely you're absolutely right about that. And just coming back once to what Rohin mentioned as well with the signings. So I think it's not really surprising that Zinchenko and Jesus settled in that perfectly, because Arteta has worked with both of them before at City. And they're players schooled by Pep in the exact style that Arteta wants to play. But that is also a very, very small and limited market. There aren't many players available who have been schooled by Pep. You know what I mean? And it's going to be difficult for Arsenal to buy from City again after the season that Arsenal have had, because City will be wary, you know, that they don't want to strengthen their biggest rival from the previous season. So finding the right targets to improve depth. I mean, I think Fabio Vieira, you probably have to give him another year, but he hasn't been impressive. So you're going to need more depth in midfield to compete on all fronts, you know, to push in the Champions League. And I think that's going to be a real challenge, that have they identified the right players? Can they get them at the right price? Can they compete with all the other big teams in the market? You know, that's a real challenge, I think.
No, good point, Kobe. I think, you know, that sort of is an important segue into, you know, what we want to talk about next. You know, Arsenal have had a phenomenal season. You know, a lot of the players have stepped up, you know, in various sort of games, in various moments, etc. But we have to sort of point out who the big players have been, who the big leaders have been. You know, there are so many players at the top of my mind. I could, you know, list 6 or 7 right at the, you know, top of the bat. But, you know, I think it's important to, you know, narrow it down to 1 or 2 players. So we'll start with you, Rohin. You know, one player that really, you know, impressed you, one player that you think really represented Arsenal's sort of season this time around. And, you know, we'll go across the board, followed by Arnav, followed by Kobe.
So my, I would say, player of the season and my embodiment of Arsenal this season is Martin Odegaard. There's absolutely no question in my mind about him. He's got the ethos of Arsenal, like, you know, running through his veins. He is everything we want from an Arsenal captain. He leads from the front. He creates goals. He scores goals. And most of all, he makes sure there's composure in the entire team. He's popped up with some fantastic goals. He's popped up with so many progressive passes, even though it might not have translated into assists for him, but he's always been in the right place. He's always had the right things to say to his team. And I feel like he's had the biggest improvement in my eyes, at least from the previous season. I also want to touch on someone who missed for me this season. Like, I feel like I don't want to say he was bad or anything of the sort, but he wasn't at the level Arsenal need him to be. And that was Thomas Partey. Like, I remember Arnav saying before, we used to lose the ball in midfield, and then that's what would lead to, you know, to us conceding a goal. And I feel like Partey as a whole midfielder, and technically I feel like he was playing a pivot to a certain extent, you cannot lose the ball. You cannot have stray passes so close to your own box. It's absolutely unforgivable at points. And there's this one thing that comes to mind against City. when Stones got his second goal on the stroke of halftime, the free kick was conceded by Partey. It was Erling Haaland, about 35 yards away from our goal, facing his own goal. And Partey has come in, and instead of just keeping the pressure on him and making sure he doesn't have a passing lane to play, he's come in across his body and put in a tackle. Of course, that's a foul. There has to be composure when you go in. When you go in with a tackle like that, you cannot be playing pivot for Arsenal and making these kind of decisions when in such big games. Like if we're going up against City, which all of us agree is a juggernaut, you have to take whatever points you can off them. And there were teams across the Premier League that did take points off them, right? So considering we were their biggest challenger and we were above them in the league at that time, we should have taken some points from them. And I feel like the biggest place we're lacking is Thomas Partey's position. In my personal opinion, I don't feel like he can lead us into the next season playing that pivot role for us. We do need someone else, whether it's Declan Rice, whether it's somebody else who we signed, that remains to be seen. But he was the biggest miss for me, and Martin Odegaard, world class. I feel like he was the biggest hit for me.
So, Rohin, just to play devil's advocate for 1 second, because you're an Arsenal fan, so you're definitely more informed on the subject than I am. But from my understanding, see, the first half of the season, I would say Partey was almost flawless, right? Before the World Cup, there was absolutely no issue. Early on in Jan, no issues. And then you had the injury to Saliba. And after the injury to Saliba happened, you had Rob Holding come into the team. And the knock-on effect was Rob Holding can't pass the ball, right? He's basically like a whiter Chris Smalling. So what you had is Partey having to take on a burden that he didn't have to take on early on in the season, because Saliba was doing that. So I personally just feel that he definitely has a limited skill set for a pivot. But on the other hand, if you build around him, if you have centre-backs who can play the ball, then you don't necessarily need him for the build-up. So that was just, you know, that was just my feeling that he was... A CDM is always going to get blamed if you concede goals on the counter. If you lose the ball near your own box, that's absolutely going to be a problem. But at the same time, if you're going to ask a player who's technically limited to play a role that's technically demanding, then there are going to be mistakes, right? Especially in the Premier League where you have almost no time on the ball.
No, I think like that's another fair point. And I feel just before I dive deeper into the player hits and misses for me, I feel like we could compare that to Rodri as well. The composure that he has on the ball, he takes his time, but he's never in a rush to go after, like to play the next pass. And I feel he is technically so sound that way. So I have mixed feelings about what you said, because I definitely do feel like Partey was underwhelming for me as well. There were some situations, maybe like in the first half of the season, he was progressing the ball really well. That was one thing that we have seen with Partey that he's been doing consistently. But I feel like holding the ball is something that, like, when a team is pressing, I've seen that weakness as well. Conceding goals, conceding balls. Through that, I feel the Rob Holding aspect as well, even with Yakub Kivior coming in, I feel that is somewhere like Partey was still like weak. And that's why in the end, we also saw Jorginho step in, even when Partey was fit and Partey was benched. And I feel Jorginho was adding that composure. And that's what I think Arteta also saw, that Jorginho was more technically sound in keeping the ball, holding the ball and finding that pass, and not conceding the ball in those awkward spaces where there could be a counter-attacking opportunity. So yeah, moving on to the player hits for me, definitely Martin Odegaard was someone that stood out, someone that was, I think, standing out consistently throughout the season. I feel when I compare the two wingers, I would also want to mention Martinelli's performance this season. Martinelli has grown into another mature threat. We have seen that he was so good on the ball moving forward in the past, but he was not able to convert those final opportunities. But I feel like finally, this season, we have seen those numbers racking in, those goals coming in, those assists coming in with Martinelli, the threat that he produces. And I feel like somewhat like with Saka, he's had an amazing season. Like, don't get me wrong, that might be a hot take, but I feel like at times I did see him shut off. And I feel that's what he needs to add when he's being like double teamed by two defenders against those teams, just because his over dependence on his left foot. I feel that's what makes it slightly questionable at times, because that's where the attacking output completely shuts off. So I feel that could also be that we need another, as I mentioned before, athletic right back who's there to support Saka on the right, someone that can play those one-touch passes and just let him through. But I definitely do feel he has worked on his right foot. We have seen a few assists coming in from his right foot towards the box. But I feel that is something that also is being... I feel like that is somewhat like those double-teamed... tactics where teams are playing, I feel Saka shuts off. But Martinelli, on the other hand, I feel has done considerably well against those tactics. And for me, I would say Martinelli would be second for me in the team in the attacking output. I would then say Xhaka's influence this season. Xhaka has definitely stepped up his game to another level. And one more hit for me this season might be a hot take as well. After Saliba, I feel the most consistent defender this season has been Gabriel. He's played the most number of minutes for Arsenal this season. And he has definitely, he did try to solidify, but like he was unlucky with the injuries on the side. So definitely I do feel Gabriel has had an underrated season. He's definitely done really well for me.
I think, you know, it's a good way for us to sort of move on to, you know, what we need to look for, you know, in terms of next season. Of course, Arsenal has a fantastic project going on. You know, they definitely have the budget this time. They're looking at a few options. And, you know, I want to sort of discuss those options, you know, slightly, you know, at length, if possible. And, you know, we have to discuss Declan Rice. I think he's coming in with a price tag of 100 million. It's widely being reported that Arsenal have put in their first bids, you know, for over £90 million, you know, pound worth. Declan Rice is a player who, you know, has a number of responsibilities that he can fulfill on the pitch. He's a number 8. He can also play as a holding 6. He's a fantastic ball progressor. He adds, you know, a lot of tenacity, a lot of nuance to Arsenal's game. What I want to understand from Arsenal fans, and, you know, just from an understanding, you know, from a positioning viewpoint, is that who does Declan Rice really replace? Is he a Partey replacement or is he a Xhaka replacement from a system point? And, you know, Kobe, I'll jump to you in just a few seconds. But we'll start off with Rohin over here. Rohin, Declan Rice is going to come in with a tremendous amount of pressure. He's probably, you know, a leader already in the dressing room. But what does he really bring to the system if he comes at all?
So with Declan Rice, we've seen he's a great ball winner and he's a great ball carrier. And I feel like bringing something like that to the team is of utmost importance. Granit Xhaka, however advanced his role was this season, he's not a ball carrier. He can win you the ball back, but he's not a ball carrier. He can't progress the ball himself. He'll have to play a progressive pass and move forward. So with Declan Rice, I feel like what we're going to get is someone who can carry the ball forward. Someone I really admire personally is Frenkie de Jong. Again, no comparisons being made, but I love the way he's able to carry the ball. And I feel like if we can bring in someone who even does 1/3 or half of that, you know, of carrying the ball forward, I feel like that'll help us a lot, because that's what we've been lacking this season, with Odegaard being up top, Xhaka coming in next to him, and us coming in with a box midfield with one player in Partey who can't necessarily play the passes we require, and one person in Xhaka who can't necessarily carry the ball the way we require. I feel like we're trying to fulfill parts of both of them by bringing in just one person, basically. And Declan Rice has proven it time and time again in the Premier League that he is one of the best in those positions in the league. And he will come in with all these things for us. And like you said, he will come in with that leadership aspect to him, which will again bring in like a big morale boost to the dressing room. And that's what I think Declan Rice will bring the most, his ball carrying aspects.
So
So, good point about betting, guys. Yeah, go on, Kobe. You know, I just wanted to ask you, Kobe, actually, you know, before you sort of jump in, I apologize for butting in. You know, with these big price tags, I know you have a few things to say about that. You know, Caicedo's, you know, at an 80 million valuation. We've seen Bellingham go at, you know, over 130 right now. Declan Rice is probably at 100. You know, United's looking at Mason Mount for over 50. From an outsider's point of view, you know, Kobe, if you were to shed light on these valuations, these are exorbitant prices for midfielders, you know, no matter what their age, what is really driving this valuation? Is it the increase in revenue? Are there other factors involved? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very, very good question. The main thing is, the selling clubs know that the buying clubs can pay, you know, and that creates an environment where there's very, very small number of targets for these elite clubs because they're extremely risk averse in general. When you look at a club like Brighton, for example, their model is about taking much more risky approaches with their players, but they're able to capitalize on that because they don't have as much scrutiny. You know, the fringe players at Brighton, now they're scrutinized because everyone's wondering how the hell they do it. But in general, there isn't pressure on these players the way there is on someone arriving at Arsenal or at Man United or at Liverpool, for example. So I think that's one of the key things where major clubs, because they're so risk averse and there's only particular targets who fit all their criteria, in terms of, you know, hopefully being reliable enough, being able to play in that league, being proven in that league, being of the right nationality, all of these factors we know make a difference. Just on Rice specifically, and we can say the same thing about Caicedo, but personally, I don't know if Declan Rice is a £100 million pound player. Especially with just 1 year remaining on his contract, because that just makes no sense. And what Rohin mentioned before, you know, that Rice, he is a good player on the ball. He is press resistant. He can progress the ball forward with his passing. And more importantly, his defensive instincts are impeccable. He knows where to be and when to be to stop the opposition from progressing the ball. And that is something that would definitely add value to Arsenal's midfield. But, and the key question for me is, would this enable Arsenal to go from playing two sixes and a 10 to playing a six and two eights, or playing a six and two tens the way Man City do? Because that's the real value of a world-class elite holding player. They can handle that situation on their own. And that allows you to push one more player forward into attack and really create those overloads in midfield, dominate that area and pin the opposition back. And I think that's what Arteta wants to do. But I don't know if Rice is the player who will enable it in the way that they're envisioning. I don't think so.
Yeah, I feel, I definitely feel like there were some points that I do agree on and do also like question, but I definitely feel like in terms of like, as you mentioned, like your first point about Declan Rice's contract and his valuation, I feel just having 1 year left on your contract, especially in this scenario, is not in itself that reduces the price of a player, especially at the level where what Rice is playing, because we also need to keep an eye on other players, other teams coming in and also hounding that player, because all of us know West Ham has clearly stated that Declan Rice is going this summer. And we also know that Declan Rice is not someone that will not find any suitors in the market if Arsenal bid low. So I feel we've made similar mistakes in the past where we have bid low and then we were going slowly up. But I feel like teams like Manchester City, there were some sources saying that Manchester City is also interested in Declan Rice. Bayern was also interested in Declan Rice. So I feel like that's what is hiking the price as well, because we've seen in the past teams that want a certain player, they don't care about the price. They'll just bid as much as they can to beat the other team. And that's what starts a price war. And that's why the prices are going up and down. So I feel that is one thing that is kind of like alluding the fact that only 1 year is left on his contract. And the other thing that you were mentioning, I feel like Declan Rice, I've been a huge Declan Rice fan. I feel like in terms of like just watching him play, the way he progresses the ball. I don't know if you remember that goal that he scored, like that he won the ball in his own half with West Ham. And then he just went on the other side and just scored that goal. I feel Arsenal is definitely like with Declan Rice, there would be that flexibility. It's not one sort of play that Arsenal would want. I feel in the past, we've also seen with Arteta signing Trossard, for example, he's not an out and out left wing player, or if he can play center forward, he can also like slot in at different positions. Same with Zinchenko, and similar with him, with most of his signings, Ben White, center back, right back. So I feel Arteta is that sort of a player that doesn't, that sort of a manager that does not want a player that is super straightforward. He likes to surprise the opponents as well. And that's the flexibility that Declan Rice could provide, because he has the holding ability and he also has the ability to progress the ball, as Rohan was mentioning before. So I definitely feel that is one aspect. And I do also want to touch upon Kai Havertz. I feel there have been like sources right now going around that Arsenal is definitely like after Rice, Kai Havertz is one of the other players that they are interested in. Personally, I do have mixed feelings about this. Maybe like if Arteta wants to play Kai Havertz as a central midfielder or forward, I feel like Kai Havertz does have that technical ability to play midfield as well. And that is, and he has played well in the past before joining Chelsea as well. So I think that is one aspect that I feel like Arteta is looking for in Kai Havertz. But I do personally have mixed feelings about that signing. But I would definitely rate Declan Rice. If Declan Rice comes to Arsenal, I'll be super excited as an Arsenal fan after a really, really long time.
So just to touch back on my earlier point, if Rice can play as a lone six in Arsenal, he's worth whatever they spend on them. Whatever they spend on him. I mean, £100 million, absolutely, if he can play as a lone six. But if he can't do that, then I'd have to question that amount of money being spent on a player with 1 year left on his contract. Coming to Havertz for just 1 second, I think the reason Arsenal want him is because in an environment like Arsenal have now, where the team is functioning at a high level and there's a lot of control, a huge amount of interplay, Havertz is the kind of player who can just, you know, provide a key to unlock a stubborn defense. He can play that clever pass, he can just do something magical because he has that in him, and there aren't that many players in world football who can do the something like that. So that's just my take on Havertz.
Yeah, you know, good point, Kobe. And I think you know, that, you know, we sort of touched upon, you know, a fair element, you know, the transfer window in terms of what Arsenal, you know, would probably bring into next season. But the last question that I want to, you know, sort of touch upon before we wrap up for today is to Rohin, which is, what kind of football do you want to see Arsenal play the next season? And what are your expectations, you know, of this team? Where do you see this team, you know, finish? Do they contest again like this season? Do they, you know, revert back to the mean, or do they raise themselves to the next level? What are your thoughts on this?
So honestly, I can't complain about Arsenal this season. I've watched them for as long as I can remember now. I've watched them play football for as long as I can remember. And they played really good and expansive football this year. And I want them to carry that forward into next season. More progressive passes, pushing a little higher up the field, pressing a little higher. I feel like against City, I feel like if they pressed a little higher instead of sitting back a little, I feel like that may have made a little bit of a difference. But more than anything else, I'm just proud of them. I'm proud of this Arsenal team. I'm proud of what they've done for themselves and what they've done for us as fans. Like today, you know, when I look back to like 2017 or 2018 or 2019, when we finished like eighth, or like, you know, the biggest thing we had going for us was maybe the FA Cup. I can look back at this season and go like, we do have it in us. We do have it in this squad to take it all the way. And next season, I feel like our expectation should be that we have to compete for the title. Again, everyone here has touched on some great points throughout the podcast about whether we will be able to do it and how important the signings are to doing that. And I feel like the signings are going to be very important, but I also do feel like the camaraderie needs to remain. Everyone needs to believe in each other, everyone needs to trust in each other, and everyone needs to take it forward in that sense. And just to round this off, as far as what I've read from sources, it says apparently Arsenal is being allowed to spend 200 million plus player sales this season. I feel like if we can make about 250 or 275 million translate into good player signings for us, which hopefully Edu and Arteta, like we've discussed before, will do, I feel like 100% we can compete next season, because the main thing we lacked this year was squad depth. If William Saliba had someone who could come in and replace him, doesn't have to be as good, I understand, but who could at least come in and do the basic things that he does, the basics of football, I feel like we would have been able to go further into the season. So squad depth, our transfers, this Arsenal team, and that Arteta, I feel like that's everything for us. That's the mantra for us next season.
Wonderful. Thanks for that, Rowan. And I think, just to wrap up, some exciting times ahead for Arsenal fans. Champions League football returns back to the Emirates after a long, long time. You know, I think with Champions League football comes its own challenges. But as a neutral, I'm really looking forward to watching this Arsenal team play. I'm looking forward to who they sign, and I'm looking forward to a good old school top four battle. Starting next season with Liverpool, Chelsea, United, etc. in the hunt. It's going to be an exciting season ahead, and this is one team to look forward to. But once again, thank you from the Football Road podcast. We really appreciate you listening in, and then do provide us with your opinions as well. We'll probably have a fan poll out of very soon on Instagram and Twitter. So keep an eye out on that. And thank you for listening again. You have a lovely week ahead.